Folks, ready?
Yeah.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, the lobbyists must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 805, accept the report and recommend a specific reuse of the Sergeant Jerome Sears United States Army Reserve Center at 2730 Southwest Multnomah Boulevard.
I'd like to remind folks that prior to beginning this that this will be information only today, that the council will not take a vote until June 25th. And so today is a time for public for a presentation and public comment. And I looked at the list before I came in here. It's a rather lengthy list of folks signed to testify. I'm going to limit testimony to 2 minutes. So with that, please go ahead and proceed, staff.
Kosky, Government Relations, Portland Development Commission. I'm going to give you just a very brief overview and then hand it off to David Sheeran to do the presentation. As you had mentioned, Mayor, today is a day for a presentation, public hearing, opportunity for applicants and people that are interested in reusing this particular site that's currently an Army Reserve Base on Multnomah, near Multnomah Village. What you'll be hearing is an overview of the process that's been going on the last couple of years. You'll be hearing from David Sheeran as well as representatives from BHCD who we've been working with, because there's an important HUD component to this related to a homeless submission report. So it's kind of representative of a partnership between the two agencies. In terms of sequencing, what we'd like to do is we'll do the presentation, then we'll take some kind of clarifying questions to the extent you need them, and then each of the six applicants will have 5 minutes to do their presentations. Then you can ask them questions, and then we can move into the public testimony, and staff will be available for questions and comments and clarifying statements throughout the hearing. So with that, I will hand it off to David Sheeran.
Good afternoon. My name is David Sheeran with the Portland Development Commission. I've been a project coordinator on this project since April of last year. This project's been going on since late 2006. If you remember, we came before you on April 9th with the SHARF Master Reuse Plan for the SHARF Center in Portsmouth neighborhood, and you accepted that plan. This plan is similar to that plan, but it's for the Sears site on Multnomah Boulevard. Just as a reminder, the BRAC process stands for the Base Realignment and Closure Process. It's the federally regulated process of dealing with surplus military facilities that are scheduled to be closed. During the 2005 round of the BRAC process, two Portland facilities were scheduled for closure, the SHARF and Sears Centers. The roles and responsibilities throughout the BRAC process involve several different agencies. The U.S. Department of Defense owns both properties, and they determine the final transfer and disposition of the property. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is involved in that they require what's called a homeless assistance submission, which regulates the solicitation of interest from homeless service agencies within the jurisdiction of Portland and their interest in using the site for reuse. The Portland City Council today will be hearing testimony and June 25th be making a recommendation on the local reuse plan, which will be submitted to both HUD and to the Department of Defense to guide them in their reuse and disposition of the property. The Portland Development Commission has been serving as the lead of the Local Redevelopment Authority, which is the federal regulated term for the agency that's in charge of the reuse planning process. So we've coordinated the due diligence research of the site, as well as the public participation components and compilation of the final plans that you have in front of you. We've been partnering with the Bureau of Housing and Community Development throughout the process to aid with our obligations to HUD, and also to help us with the solicitation in our relationship with homeless service agencies throughout the process. The Sears site is about 4 acres, which complicates the issue. This BRAC process is primarily designed for large size sites, such as the Presidio in San Francisco or Lawton Air Force Base in Colorado, sites that have a multitude of uses and lack a master reuse master plan or even a zoning plan. For these sites, they're rather small, and to fit the BRAC federally regulated process onto these sites has been rather complicated. To date, I've counted that involved in this process have been 6 federal agencies, 6 city bureaus, 5 non-governmental organizations in the city of Portland, and the Portland Development Commission. So as you can see, there's a lot of different players and a lot of different people coming to the table and fulfilling different roles. So it's been a struggle at times to coordinate the project, but I feel like the plan and the options that we have before you today are solid reuse options for the site, no matter which one is chosen. Just to give you a sense in where we are in the timeline, this process for the site started back in 2005. The Department of Defense schedules it to be closed. The U.S. Congress passes that. It then goes to what's called a federal notice, where they notify other federal agencies that the property is available in surplus. Because there was no interest from any other federal agency to occupy the site, it came to the City of Portland to create a local reuse plan. That local reuse plan, including the homeless assistance submission, will be submitted to HUD, and HUD will have 60 days to review that plan and to look at the process that we followed and whether we fulfilled all the regulatory guidelines as it relates to soliciting interest from homeless service agencies and considering those agencies for the reuse of the site. Following HUD's determination on our plan process and our determination of the reuse, it then goes to the Department of Defense, and that document is used by the Department of Defense in their disposition of the property. But all final transfer and disposition authority still rests with the Department of Defense. The Sears site is currently zoned R1, which is a multifamily residential zone. It received that designation through the Southwest Community Plan process. That zoning on the site, with the size of the site, would allow anywhere between 120 and 200 units, depending on density bonuses. The community had a large input in the Southwest Community Portland Plan, as you know, and it's so that R1 zoning is compatible with the surrounding land uses. Within the R1 zone, there's also the availability of a conditional use permit for educational uses, and that if there were an educational use on the site, it would also fit well with the surrounding land uses with another school adjacent to the northeast. The site is currently deemed to be a freight warehouse use, as it currently stands, which is a non-conforming use on the R1 zone. So the site would be able to continue in that use, but it would be a non-conforming use, and there would be restrictions on expansion or vacancy periods of the site. Just to give you a brief overview of what the site looks like, it's on Multnomah Boulevard, just shortly after you get off the interstate interchange there. It's situated between 25th and 28th Streets. It abuts Multnomah Boulevard, and there is a lack of sidewalks, but a bike path and a two-lane road. There's considerable traffic that flows up and down the road at peak periods as well as throughout the day. Sited to the northeast of the site is a Quest facility that also houses trucks and materials. When the site was developed in the 1950s, it cut through 27th Street, which is currently an easement on the property. If you see that picture on the left, that's looking from the north to the south, and that fence is where it cuts off into the Sears property. So one of the options that would need to be considered if the site were completely redeveloped would be whether to reconnect 27th Street with Multnomah Boulevard. On the west of the site, it's near 28th Street, which is a T intersection with a stop sign. And if you go further down the street, you have 31st Street and 35th Streets, with both are signalized with left-hand turning lanes. So as Keith mentioned, there's six interested parties that have been represented throughout this process. The way that they were identified is that back in late 2006, we solicited notices of interest from interested parties for reuse of the site. I was advertising the Oregonian. We held an open house at the site for tours. Out of that process, we had six agencies or organizations submit notices of interest to be considered for the site. They include two educational uses, one from Portland Community College, one from Westside Christian High School. And we received a notice of interest from the city for an emergency response facility. That's a coordination between PDOT, the Water Bureau, and the Portland Office of Emergency Management, which would fall under the freight warehouse land use option. In addition, we've had interest from three nonprofit housing developers for a residential land use, including community partners for affordable housing, the Housing Authority of Portland, and Volunteers of America. Each of these organizations has been involved throughout the process in our public participation meetings and have had opportunity to interact with the public and hear concerns from the neighborhood throughout the process. You'll be hearing from them later to give more specificity about their intended uses and desires for the site. Within the BRAC process, there's the opportunity for what's called a public benefit conveyance. It's similar to what was given to PNCA when they received the 511 building. It's a grant of land and ownership of a site based upon public benefit use. If you look at that table, there's the six represented organizations that have expressed interest, each, and then their corresponding land use. Within those land uses and the public benefit, they are eligible for different types of public benefit conveyances. For an educational conveyance, that's eligible for up to 100% discount on the site or to receive the site at no cost. Both Westside Christian High School and Portland Community College have gone through an application and review process with the Department of Education to determine their level of eligibility for discount, and Westside Christian High School received the notice of 100% eligibility, and what Portland Community College received a notice of 80% eligibility. For the Water Bureau POEM PDOT proposal, we're working, still continuing to work with FEMA on receiving a determination and appraisal of their request for a discount on the property. An emergency response center would be eligible for up to 100% discount on the property. We hope to have that evaluation completed within a week. However, FEMA, as you can imagine, has been a little bit difficult to work with lately. We've been working with HUD on the eligibility for the residential components for discount on the site, and they have had a difficult road of figuring out what type of discount and eligibility the types of residential developments that these three organizations are proposing would be eligible for. We have received in writing that they would be eligible for up to 50% of discount on the land, but that is based on the number of permanent supportive housing units that are included in the development, as well as a number of self-help housing ownership units. I'm just going to go through very quickly each of the different reuse options, and I'll leave the most of the explanation to them when they address you. But the first educational use was from the Portland Community College, who uses it as administrative office and staff training facility. It would anticipate that the strengths for this would be that it would require little or no city subsidy, that it would retain the existing structures, and it would provide community space use and off hours. One of the weaknesses would be potentially increased traffic on the site. If you look at the Westside Christian High School proposal, they're proposing to move their high school to the site permanently. They currently rent space in Lake Oswego. They would be looking to house anywhere from 275 to 300 students on site. They are, again, they would have a strength of requiring no city subsidy and retaining the existing structures. They've also agreed to cooperate with the city in funding a mentoring program for homeless families and individuals. They'll let them tell you more about that. And there is an adjacent elementary school that is a feeder school for this high school adjacent to the site at the northeast. Also, for this, there'd be potential for increased traffic. With the city's proposal for the emergency response center, it would be creating a west side emergency response center at the site for storage of emergency response materials and siting for emergency events. It would also retain the existing structures. It would also, again, increase traffic rates and potentially have noise impacts related to truck traffic and use at emergency periods. For all three residential components, they're all proposing a similar structure of a mixed-income, mixed-tenure housing development that would include rental units affordable from 0 to 60% of the median income and housing units available at 80% of the median income. There would be a mix of number of units, anywhere from 120 to 150, depending on the density bonuses on the site. It would provide a good affordable housing options on the site. It's a great transit spot for affordable housing. It would also increase daily traffic trips. It would not be able to retain the existing structures, and the discount for the residential components is limited to the homeless element and the self-help housing units. So again, just to reiterate where we are today, we're presenting to you, and then based upon your recommendation, that'll be submitted to HUD. Again, they'll have a 60-day review to review our process and our determination as it relates to our solicitation and inclusion of homeless agencies in the process, and that'll be transferred to the Department of Defense. The site is currently scheduled to be closed in 2011. That's the date that they have to be out of the building. However, it could be closed sooner depending on the needs of the military. Thank you.
Do you have anything to say? Do you want to say anything? Okay, so that's the extent of our formal presentation. We can take questions for either David or Will or move to the presentations by the applicants. Defer to you.
Okay. Applicants. Thank you.
Okay.
We're going to ask each of the individual applicants to come forward. You have 5 minutes to provide an overview of your notice of interest. Please call the first. You have the list. Portland Community College.
Do you want me to do this or do you want to?
Yeah.
Sure.
If you're willing.
Would you please set the timer for 5 minutes?
Good afternoon. For the record, Randy McEwen, Portland Community College District Vice President. Mayor Potter, members of the council, I'm pleased to represent the college and our president, Dr. Preston Pulliams, to describe for you and the citizens the basis for our interest in the center. As you well know, the challenges for funding education are significant. On the one hand, we need to try to provide as much of every dollar we receive for educational purposes, actual instruction. We need also to do what we can to create administrative efficiencies so that we achieve that objective. And then we need also to be responsive to the visions and interests of local governments and the citizens we serve. So from those bases does PCC's proposal stem. As you see, we operate facilities that ring the metro area. The from the Rock Creek campus in Washington County to the Southeast Center nearly 30 miles away. And just by the way, our board of directors has determined that we hope to build a more comprehensive presence at the Southeast Center. The reason we're interested in the Sears site stems from three basic strategic intents we have. So that we optimize resources for education, we need to consolidate administrative functions. For example, our financial services organization rests in Washington County. Our human resources function rests at the Cascade campus. Our material distribution functions rest at Rock Creek. That's inefficient. Our objective is to consolidate and centralize those functions, and the Sears Center represents an ideal opportunity for us to do that. Doing so allows us to offload those functions from campuses and convert that existing space for instructional purposes. That's clearly the intent of the college. The second strategic intent is that the community has told us that they don't like the reductions we had to take due to reductions in state funding 5 years ago in community-oriented education programs. We need to do a better job at that, and we have a vision that this site will allow us to increase our capability to offer community education programs, which typically are non-credit, citizen-driven kinds of programs. And finally, our board has recently established at a new policy level strong support for building sustainable communities and doing our future developments in ways that are consistent with both the city and regional visions in that regard. So, from that perspective, simply, we need to consolidate activities at our major campuses. We need to consolidate our support functions so that demands on existing transportation system and demands we create for students to use single occupancy vehicles are reduced, and that increasingly we rely on other transportation systems, whether those be ones PCC provides or that are provided by other public agencies. For example, we have looked at our interest around this proposal in the context of reducing our carbon footprint. Our initial plan is we would spend about $2 million keeping the site as it is to support the administrative use. We would renovate community renovate the facility for community education, and also support certain site enhancements for neighborhood friendliness. Longer term, we see $3 to $5 million for conversion to accommodate our financial services function. What can PCC bring to this? We bring a history of working effectively with community partners. We know about transportation demand management. We have a capability to invest in the site now on our nickel, and operating synergies due to the proximity of the Sylvania campus. And finally, we really strongly believe in asking our neighbors, what do you think? We appreciate the opportunity to comment and be happy to respond to your questions.
Questions? Thank you, sir. So, Westside Christian High School, please. When you speak, if you'd state your name for the record.
Hutch Johnson, I'm chairman of the board of Westside Christian High School. And with me, Leslie Hanscom and Steve Reif, who are not going to speak but are here for questions in case there are any. 60 years ago, a group of families purchased part of the Raz family farm in the McNoma neighborhood to build a West Hills Christian School, which was a K through 8 solution for the West Side. That same group later founded West Side Christian High School in Lake Oswego to provide levels 9 through 12. I don't think it's, we have now an opportunity to position the high school back where it always should have been, next to its primary feeder, West Hills, but I don't think that's of real interest to you. Why it's interesting to you and why this situation is appealing is that because of the BRAC process and the fact that the DOE has approved Westside be given this property for free, the monies that Westside was planning to spend on a new location can now be redirected to fund a homeless program for the city of Portland. This is a win for the homeless, a win for the city, and a win for the high school. Westside's a 26-year-old high school, 300 students. We excel in academics and arts and athletics. But our broader mission is to prepare our students to become leaders who can make a difference in their community and in the lives of others. For the last 18 months, Westside has been listening to the needs of the neighborhood and the city. As a result, we have tailored our proposal to provide the greatest all-around public benefit before you today. The Westside proposal will provide for sustainable use of the Sears property. We will use all of the existing structures on site for our campus. We will significantly increase green space and pedestrian throughfares for the community, and we will add significant aesthetic improvements. Our proposal meets the needs of the city and the mandate of the federal BRAC process to address the needs of the area homeless by providing several million dollars to create a foundation that will cover the long-term administrative costs of the city's proposed Home Again mentoring program. This will impact thousands of lives of people in the city of Portland impacted by homelessness far more than any competing proposal. This is, again, possible because we are approved for a 100% public conveyance by the Federal Department of Education. We truly believe this is a win-win-win situation. The City of Portland wins in fighting homelessness through our grant for the Home Again Mentoring Program, which will help thousands of area homeless. The McNoma neighborhood wins through improved site aesthetics, limited traffic and noise impact, and our commitment to sustainability, improved green space, and availability of community space. In closing, in Westside, we win because we finally have our own property to fulfill our education mission next to our sister school, West Hills Christian. In closing, and as you guys consider this decision, please remember the following. Westside is the only applicant not requiring additional city or public funding. Westside is the only applicant proposing to generate significant funds to the city for property the city does not actually own. Westside is the only applicant providing a significant homeless benefit, a mandate for the BRAC process, and aligned with the city's 10-year plan. What makes this all possible is that we are the only applicant approved for a 100% public benefit conveyance. Our plan delivers on issues of sustainability, community aesthetics, and limited traffic impact. Westside presents the greatest all-around public benefit for the Sears Armory property. We thank you for your consideration and are now happy to answer any of your questions.
Questions from the commissioners? Commissioner?
Thank you for your presentation, and I was delighted that you referenced the Home Again Mentoring Program. Could you, just for my benefit, explain how your proposal leads to additional funds for that program?
Money that we would have spent on brick and mortar, we would divert to a foundation or trust to fund that Home Again Mentoring Program for a period of 10 years. We understand the budget for that program is in the $190,000 to $200,000 a year range, and so several million dollars is the range that we had anticipated supporting.
And is that, does that specifically part of the application that you're submitting, or is that what you would anticipate to be a separate agreement with the city?
I'm not sure the legal mechanics of that, but we have it was not part of the original submission to the Department of Education, but it is a letter sent to, it is in letter form sent to the Portland Development Commission. There's a copy of which in the binder that we just presented to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks, very much. Now we'll go to the City Emergency Response Facility.
Do you have a PowerPoint?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're off the book. Hello, my name is Suzanne Kahn. I'm one of the maintenance group directors for the Office of Transportation, and I'll do the presentation for the joint proposal from Water, the Office of Emergency Management and Transportation. I'm confident that you understand the competing interests and issues surrounding this property, so I'm hopeful that I'll just do an overview of some of the key points, although I confess I do get a little enthusiastic about it, so it's good that I have a clock in front of me. The packet that I've had distributed for you includes three pieces. The top page is the summary of the information that we shared with the community at community meetings. There's a site map that outlines the buildings that are in existence, and hopefully that you can read the labels, and that will indicate why it's such an ideal facility for staging emergency operations for the infrastructure bureaus. And then the final piece is just a map that gives you a sense of where the existing emergency operations centers are. Because in a nutshell, what we have are most all of our emergency response supplies, centers, and equipment on the east side of the Willamette River. The Sears site is particularly well located because it's near in proximity to the center of the city and access to the I-5 freeway, which gives us wonderful flexibility in responding to events anywhere in the city. One of the things that I wanted to bring out that we've not brought out in our other material is that an emergency isn't just a disaster. You know, very often, and especially in the news lately, I think we think of earthquakes and what's the likelihood of something that devastating occurring in Portland. But for water and transportation and our arrangement with environmental services to maintain the sewer system, for us, emergencies are six of the 13 identified conditions for the city. So when we have snow and ice events or landslides or floods, transportation is the primary responder responsible for dealing with those emergencies. In the other conditions that are triggered throughout the city, obviously both roads and water and bridges need to be available in order for public safety personnel to be able to respond to those. So we have a fairly significant role in maintaining both the public health and the public safety throughout the area. What we find in the Sears Center is a situation that's basically a move-in ready facility for us. The facility is, from what I can find from the county assessed value, the existing property or the existing buildings on the property are valued at $2.3 million. Well, that's an expense then that we as the city wouldn't have to invest in another location. It has available parking for large equipment. That actually is a big issue for us. Transportation currently has, well, somewhere between a quarter and a third of our large equipment parked under some of the I-5 overpasses by the Kirby facility. We pay $250,000 a year in rent to ODOT to be able to use that area. I kind of think we're protecting it for them, but they don't see it that way. So that would be funds that, should we be able to move the equipment out from under there and locate it on the west side ideally, we could use that money to fund the operating expenses for a different facility, and I think to better advantage for the city. We have been fairly open and flexible about what we would actually house at Sears, in part because we're really committed to having a neighborhood process that would finalize it. There are some key pieces that we would really need to have there. We really need to have operating emergency operations centers for water, for transportation, and the option of an alternate city coordinating site for the Office of Emergency Management. And I think I'm out of time. We would involve the neighborhood, though. Beyond that, and housing emergency management staff and our de-icing operation at this facility, there are some other options, like moving our traffic control center there, moving structural or traffic engineers there. There are some other options that we have, but those we really would want to work with the neighborhood, as well as working with
Your
them on
is.
Site improvements. And I'm done. Are there questions that you have for me?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we'll hear about the residential applicant uses. First, the Community Partners for Affordable Housing. When each of you speak, please state your name for the record and the organization you represent.
Good afternoon. I'm Sheila Greenlaw Fink. For the record, I reside at 6777 Southwest Alden Street, Portland, Oregon, 97223. I'm the Executive Director of Community Partners for Affordable Housing.
I'm John Miller. I'm Executive Director of Host Development. I reside at 4215 Northeast 99th Avenue, Portland, Oregon.
You know, you folks don't have to give your home address.
Oh.
Just state your name.
Oh, sure. I'm Rick Nitti. I'm the Executive Director of Neighborhood House, and I live 3/4 of a mile from the site.
And we'll talk fast because we're pretty excited about what you could see happen on this site, and we don't have a lot of time. We'd like to share with you why we believe that affordable housing is critically needed and the best use for this site, describe our capacity to develop a project of this scale, share a vision for the site that will add vibrancy to the village and also help the city address several very critical goals around schools, family balance, minority and first-time homeownership, and the 10-year plan to end homelessness. Homelessness fundamentally is about homes.
In Southwest Portland, where we live and work, the price tag for housing is increasingly out of reach for those of modest means amid condo conversions and existing home teardowns. School-age populations are closed out of our market. One elementary school has already closed and another teeters on the brink. While we struggle to maintain a diverse and inclusive community, we can ill afford to lose any land which is zoned residential particularly to a parcel like this, which is so strategically located to jobs and transit.
We've assembled an experienced team of community-based developers and service providers. Host looks forward to adding its homeownership resources to this quadrant of the city. We're joined by SEPA, who serves Southwest Portland and Southeastern Washington County, Neighborhood House, who has been helping families and individuals for over a century, the Housing Development Center, a nonprofit that provides technical support and project leadership, and Carlton Hart Architecture, a local firm with a passion for sustainability.
We wanted to tell you just a little bit about the members of the team. SEPA is a community-based developer whose mission is to promote healthy communities through the development of permanent, affordable housing. And when we say that, we mean for 50 to 60 years, typically, to link that up with community-based partnerships and provide for sustainable economic growth. We have 226 units in a variety of formats and locations that serve workforce and seniors. Want to talk a little bit about the site plan we're proposing. We've suggested the addition of a large green open space for the community, which is a green amphitheater you'll see, and community space, which Rick may talk a little bit more about the kinds of programs that Neighborhood House does and can do in that facility in a family-based setting. We have the townhouse home ownership around the perimeter where it is located next to single-family neighborhoods. And the multifamily units you can see have green roofs and will have a variety of features. Maybe Rick will tell you a little bit more about the features.
Well, the Neighborhood House mission is to bring neighbors together to feed the hungry, house homeless families, support and educate people young and old. We strengthen the community by providing resources to support self-reliance, economic independence, and dignity in people of all ages and backgrounds. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. We do that by providing a myriad of services that cover the full span of life, from Head Start and family support for the young to educational enrichment, mentoring, and delinquency prevention for youth, transitional housing and anti-poverty services for families, and a senior center, transportation and case management for our elders. Together, Neighborhood House with Loaves and Fishes provides an excellent system of support for seniors in Multnomah Village and throughout Southwest Portland.
These are some of the seniors who Neighborhood House is serving at SEPA's Watershed Project. I'm going to go back and tell you just a little bit more about the proposal.
In our proposed site plan, we have suggested a green amphitheater, large community building, and rental and home ownership units with a variety of sustainable features. We realize that the design, as well as the financial modeling we have provided, while reasonable and based on today's zoning and financial markets, provides a place to start rather than a place to finish. We'll work with the neighborhood and a variety of public and private partners to maximize the public benefit conveyance, as well as projecting community amenities, and will be flexible in that process.
The project will include 20 units of housing focused on first-time and minority home buyers, 75 units of rental housing for families and individuals earning 60% of area median income, 15 units set aside for very low-income families or individuals earning 30% or less of local area median income. We hope to serve veterans returning from Gulf War veterans, and others. I'll tell you a little bit about Host quickly. I think you're all pretty familiar with Host's work. One thing that Host has not been able to do is work on the west side of Portland, and we see this as an excellent opportunity to get over to the west side, where the median home price is $400,000, and you need 140% of median family income to purchase. Thank you.
Questions?
So I was going to ask if I could, the chart that you showed, the layout was designated by the townhomes on the perimeter in A, B, and C, 1 and C2, I believe. So can you briefly tell us what A is, what B is, C1 and C2? You've explained the townhomes.
Sure. A, B, and C, C1 and 2 are the multifamily units. And they vary in size and actually in who they target.
Can we go back to that? So, and then you have an amphitheater rain garden, and what's the purpose of that?
It's important for any project to both meet the needs of the community and provide space for the community to come together and those residents to be a part of the community. So we do plan ample space. There's a lot of people on this, even though it's a large site to be able to have the luxury of developing. It still needs a lot of open space for the folks who live there as well as those who visit. Same with the community space, and we try to do that at all of our projects. I just want to show you that at Hillsdale Watershed, we have a public plaza and we have community space that's used by everyone, as well as the residents, and at Olson Woods similarly. These spaces really become cornerstones in the community. We don't have enough space to gather to take care of problems within neighborhoods, so we think those are really important.
And the community facility is available to the entire community?
Right.
As a community meeting space? Is that what?
Yes, and in fact, the Hillsdale neighborhood met at the Watershed just a couple of weeks ago.
Great. Thank you.
One question, I'll ask this of each housing proposal, but how do you propose to cover the other 50% of the cost of the property?
Well, we usually do have to pay full market price, unfortunately, so we're used to that. And so having any kind of conveyance allows us to do a better project and to actually meet the city's needs to actually get units down to people below 50 or 60%, which is what we usually serve, but those who find themselves homeless, which are 30% or below.
So
the pro forma that we provided you is typical compared to a lot of our other projects. It has the same sorts of sources that we always go after and are successful in getting. Additionally, it presumes that we will work to maximize the conveyance. Maybe we get more than we had put in. We put a modest one. I think it was less than some others. We have minimal fees comparatively. we do everything we can to keep the cost per unit down and the rents as low as possible. And we bring in a lot of sources to do that. A lot of our projects have 15 sources of funding.
But if the Defense Department comes back and says 50% is what you get, you're prepared to purchase the other 50% interest?
We've got less than 50% assumed in our pro forma now in terms of the value. Do you know what the land value is?
I heard somebody say 3 or 4.
We've heard private folks say it's more than that. But mm-hmm. So we have $1.5 million. Assumed.
Other questions? Thank you, folks. Now I have the Housing Authority of Portland.
Mayor Potter, members of the commission, thank you. In particular, thank you to your newest member, who is an alumni of our STEAM board, so it's nice to see a new housing face up there. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I'm Jeff Bacharach, Chairman of the Housing Authority, and with me is Mike Andrews, who's the Director of Development for HAP. And I guess the most important thing I'd like to say is we agree with the presentation you just heard that housing, an affordable housing project, is the best use for this site. There is clearly a need in Southwest Portland. I think as a community of affordable housing providers, we haven't always been able to get as many units in that area because of the land prices. So an opportunity to get land, presumably it's somewhere below market rate, really fills a need in this community to try to do a project that serves the community, that serves the school district. And so we agree with the SEPA folks that we really hope the decision is to put together an affordable housing project. Whether or not HAP's ultimately a developer, that's our position. And certainly SEPA and their team, I'm sure, could work with the city and give you a good project. HAP is prepared to be the developer, prepared to be the master developer, prepared to partner with other developers. However, the most efficient proposal can be put together with the city, we're able and willing to participate. Key interest of HAPs in this area is we own a project called Hillsdale Terrace. It's a public housing project about 3/4 mile away. It's over 40 years old and is in dire need of redevelopment. And so what we had envisioned, and we put this in the proposal that HAP gave the city over a year ago, we really haven't had a chance to go back to the city since then and sort of update and fine-tune it, but HAP's plan is to seek a HOPE 6 grant to redevelop Hillsdale Terrace. And tentatively, we would submit that in 2009. Looking at, if everything goes well, we were selected in 2010. And so our one approach would be to link the two sites, to make the Sears site part of HAP's HOPE 6 application, link it with Hillsdale Terrace and gain funding advantages and other efficiency advantages. We don't know if that can work. HAP's got a pretty good track record at HOPE 6 projects, and we hope, to us anyway, that's a first alternative if HAP's chosen as the developer to link that up if we can make it work with that. We don't know all the rules. We know the HOPE 6 rules. We're not sure how all the rules work with the federal government and the Army in terms of the disposition of this site, but that's certainly an approach we'd want to explore with the city if they go forward with housing and go forward with HAP. The HOPE 6, of course, is the funding tool we use for New Columbia and most recently for Humboldt Gardens, which, by the way, is we'll have our formal opening later this summer, but people are moving back in. Great success. The city was our partner in that and contributed a couple of $1 million to that project. Sort of similar sites. Humboldt Gardens is also about 4 acres. We did a mixed-use project. We've got Head Start there. We've got a police precinct. We've got a little bit of commercial. We've got a nice park. We've got some high-rise and lower-rise. So it's not exactly what we're proposing at Sears, but the template is sort of the same. And the one other piece that would be unique to HAP if we ultimately end up being involved in the development of Sears is we're proposing that some of the units be what we call public housing units, which has its own separate form of subsidy from the federal government that is available only to HAP. And that's of particular importance to HAP because, as you may or may not remember, we are selling what we call scattered sites. We have 162 single-family sites scattered throughout the community that we are selling. Those are public housing sites, and we are committed. We've made a very clear commitment to the community. We're going to replace those sites one for one, and that's not easily done. And so Sears gives us an opportunity to fulfill part of that commitment, not only on the one-for-one replacement, but to have family-sized houses with 2 and 3 bedrooms. So tells me I have a minute. So that's the outline of where we're at. Again, I think the most important thing is the commitment to housing, and I'm not 100% sure, and HAP's not 100% sure, quite frankly, how this process goes forward from here. As we're prepared to be the developer, we're prepared to go forward and in collaboration. We've got a lot on our plate right now, and so while we are feel we have the skills and capability to be the developer, if there's some reasons to go with the CEPA proposal, for example, we can work with them. We can stand aside, but we think the commitment to housing is what's first and most important. Mike, anything I missed you feel? Mike's saying no, so if there's questions for HAP.
I'll ask you the same question. So how would you propose to purchase the remaining 50% of the price of the property if you were awarded it by the Department of Defense?
Well, we have the resources. I'm not sure what the pro forma shows. I'll let Mike talk to the specifics of the acquisition price.
So when we presented a formal financial picture for this project a year ago, we had assumed a $3 million acquisition price. And we based our costs and our pricing on assumptions about a year ago. I make that qualification because a lot has changed in the tax credit market. The assumptions for the home ownership aspects of this project clearly have changed over the last year, 16 months. We had assumed a $3 million purchase price and would have, if there was a need to make an acquisition to provide the funds to acquire the site on a short-term basis, we have that capital and could assist with the initial takedown. And clearly, the extent to which the city could negotiate a decreased price from the federal government, that would aid in affordability, and we'd do everything we can to support that. I think we also have the liquidity to assist with the acquisition, should that be something that's necessary immediately.
So your $3 million is the number against which the 50% discount would presumably be applied. So you're saying?
Well, I think at the time we were assuming that $3 million was the full value, and that's the value that we had for our land.
So if that's given to you for a 50% discount,
we would accept that.
Yes, I accept that. You have the $1.5 million,
yeah,
assume, in your budget to acquire.
Yes, we do.
Okay, great.
And Commissioner Saltzman, I would also say that whether you talk to HAP or another developer, really you've got as financial questions to be asked as well as funding the development and also funding the operation, because I think as one of the lessons everyone in the affordable housing community has learned in the last few years, you got to have enough in your budget to operate it. And I think a lot of projects struggle. They get it built, and there's simply no money to operate it. So I think you're asking the right questions. I would continue to ask all the way through the pro forma development and post-development operation. And I think, as with CEFA, we all submitted proposals a year ago. They all need to be updated, relooked at, and reanalyzed in light of current situations.
Other questions? Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Volunteers of America, please come forward.
Hello, Mayor and Council members. My name is Greg Minahan. I'm the Interim Chief Operating Officer at Volunteers of America. And regardless of which housing, affordable housing person or organization you choose, we, Volunteers of America, really hope that affordable housing is the choice that's made. We come at the affordable housing proposal from a little different angle. We're first and foremost a social service agency, and so we really deal on the front lines with the causes and sources of homelessness. We run 18 different programs, many of them that you know, domestic violence, drug and alcohol abuse, child abuse and neglect prevention. And all of these programs, stabilization of the families, housing is one of the key components. All of our program directors clamor for affordable housing in this city. Today, the trouble with the affordable housing, the whole idea of affordable housing is this the idea of supported affordable housing. What does supported actually mean? And typically these projects are able to fund maybe a case manager that works with maybe 100 or 140 units trying to refer clients that have issues to programs like ourselves. What we would be doing here is we would be able to really populate this community with people that are coming with supports of entire programs, including rent subsidies, domestic violence support, parenting, alcohol and drug support, to really stabilize these folks. Of course, now the project would be open to anybody that qualified under income, the income basis, but we'd be planting these seeds of stability throughout the organization, as well as having, you know, the on-site case manager as well. We're big collaborators at Volunteers of America, as I think you know, and we're already working several groups in town here to support people that are vulnerable or are in danger of becoming homeless. We're currently managing some affordable housing right now. We have a Section 202 project called Whispering Pines, which is mainly seniors. We own some transitional housing and run some transitional housing programs. Also, we bring Volunteers of America as a national organization and is probably one of the number one or number two affordable housing developers in the country. And we also bring that to the table as well. One of the most important things that we're seeing here is the stabilization of families, and what does that actually mean in terms of once you have these things built? And I think all of these organizations can bring together a team and pull together a pro forma to actually get these units built. But where we're different is we're really coming at it from who are the people that are going to be living here and how successful are they going to be. Simply four walls and a roof does not end homelessness, as I think we've all come to understand. What we have here is a couple renderings from some of our team members. Our development team is Beam Development, Cook Development, as well as Anchor Moisen Architects. The only thing that I'd like to point out here, our program is very similar as the others. I think we're estimating approximately 70 units, which is a little lower than some of the other things, some of the other groups that you've talked about. And I think that's primarily because we're including parking in our proposals. Also, another thing here, too, is that in the discussions with our architect, you'll note that there's a couple places on this plan that refer to domestic violence. We don't run a domestic violence shelter, and we don't have any plans for a domestic violence shelter on this site. That would be multi-unit apartments that we would be putting in some of those facilities.
As shelter beds?
No, we don't run. No, it's just stabilizing families that are escaping domestic violence, need housing, just like everybody else, and we don't. Volunteers of America doesn't run a shelter program. This is another option, same thing. We sort of, as a team, we liked bits and pieces from both of these options, but that would really require a lot more work with the community and what works for the program. That's our team, Beam Development, Cook, Anchor Moisen, Cascade Management, and these are some of the numbers here. We assumed a $1 million. We didn't have any evaluation on the land at the time of putting our proposal together. So if you have any questions, I would be willing to take those.
You assumed $1 million is
our pro forma
share of 50% of the price. Is that?
Yeah, our pro forma, just for our numbers, putting that together, was $1 million. We would, whatever that conveyance would be the subsidy that we would put in there. Other revenue sources would be low-income housing tax credits, term loans, Volunteers of America would receive in development fees.
Other questions? Very much.
So what I'd like to do now, Commissioner Saltzman had a number of questions about affordable housing. In the previous site in North Portland, Scharf, Council directed PDC to go with the Air National Guard. In this particular case, HUD, as the first green, has a significant focus on homeless services, self-help services. And so I wanted our partner, Will White, to come up and be able to speak a little bit to his take on these proposals and on this land before we went into the public testimony element of the presentation.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and members of council, and particular welcome to Commissioner Fish on his first week here on the City Council. I'm Will White, the director of the city's Bureau of Housing and Community Development, and I wanted you to know that BHCD has had a key role working with PDC on the development of this base realignment closing project over the past many, many months, more than a year. And part of the reason for that is that the Department of Defense partners with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, in the disposition of these military facilities that are no longer needed. And they made a joint agreement that part of what they wanted to look at in the disposal of these properties and making them available to communities around the country was whether there were opportunities to benefit community plans to work on ending homelessness in their community. And that's why there is a discount provided to these to the disposition of the property to the extent you're using the land for that reason. There is a second discount that also would apply in terms of the residential option, which is the homeownership portion of any development that might be proposed. If it's a self-help, what they call a self-help proposal, which has the folks that are going to be ending up as owners of that housing participating with some volunteer labor in the development of that housing, there's also a discount for that. And so that's been part of the reason that we have been involved. We actually do strongly favor a residential option for the use of this property, and there are several reasons for that. First of all, it's zoned residential. Secondly, if you have the map that I've just passed out, if you look at the map and just combine it with your knowledge of Southwest Portland, this map shows the affordable and public housing units throughout the county. And as you can see, in Southwest, outside of downtown, we have very, very little affordable housing at this point. The star that shows in the lower left-hand corner is the approximate location of this site. And so it brings some much-needed affordable housing into a part of the community where we do not currently have very much at all. So we're excited about that possibility. We feel that the proposals that you've seen from all three housing developers would contribute to the city's plan to end homelessness, but it would also contribute to the school's family housing initiative by increasing enrollment in some of the schools there that have had declining enrollments. It would also contribute to our Operation Home efforts to provide more home ownership opportunities for families and particularly for minority households that have had a hard time becoming home buyers. So we feel that the